welcome to Between the Margins on CHRW 94.9 FM. This is a show about human rights and people's pursuit of happily ever after. And I am Michelle Boyce, and I've got my two producers here in the show, and they're doing their best. We've got two guests on the line, and we're going to get those on the line as soon as possible here on the show. And just to give you an idea, we're talking about the trans flight ban, and we're doing that. For those that don't know, there, Jennifer McCreath, who's one of our guests, broke a story that last July, quietly and in the background, the Government of Canada, you know, made permanent a ruling that said that somebody's gender identity on their identification has to match their gender presentation. So that means that if you're traveling and you look like a woman but your ID doesn't, then you have an issue. And in this country, it's very difficult to actually change your identification, sex, gender, regardless of whether it was a trans issue or a government issue. But we will get into this. But just to give you a clip that's going to give you an idea of what things are. Here is a motion that was tabled in the Parliament. Government of Canada Parliament and at the Transportation Committee to fix this problem. And this is Olivia Chow of the NDP.
So we are now back in session, and we will address Ms. Chow's motion. Ms. Chow?
The motion in front of us is, let me read it in its entirety, that the government repeal section 5.2 of the identity screening regulations under the Aeronautics Act, which were introduced in August 2011, and which states that an air carrier shall not transport a passenger if the passenger does not appear to be of gender indicated on the identification he or she presents, as this is a severe discrimination against transgendered and transsexual Canadians and a violation of the fundamental right, the freedom of movement, and that this motion be reported back to the House. Mr. Chair, we fly every week, some of us, all what we need to do is to have a driver license or OHIP card that shows who we are. And as long as my face looks identical or close to the photo that is in front of in the driver license, whether I'm male or female really does not make much of a difference, because I look like the person that is in the photo. So whether I'm wearing lipsticks or not lipsticks, or sometimes I wear glasses, I don't. Other times I don't. I have short hair, long hair. I think as long as the identity, as long as the photos, and I look like that person that is in the photo, whether what my gender is really is secondary. So and it doesn't compromise security. Now a lot of people have Nexus card. I happen to have one. I do. And it's retinal. They don't, the camera that's looking at me is, just look at my eyes. They don't care what is, what my gender identity is. And, as long as that eye that they look at and they say, oh, this is the right person, I go through if I go to the States. So, increasingly technology is going to be so much more advanced that we probably, it would be beyond the identification, the photo IDs anyway. So I think, this part that was introduced in August 2011, this section, is unnecessary, is backwards, and it's discriminatory. That's why I have a motion in front of you, Mr. Chair.
And that was Olivia Chow. Are you there, Kristen? We're having a few telephone glitches here, so bear with us as we work here desperately to get our guests on the phone. Kristen, are you there? No. Okay. So as you heard there, and I mean, Parliament has erupted on this issue, and the NDP are advocating on behalf of the trans community, but there's more in play here than just the trans community. And I mean, there's several different categories of airline security, and that's what we're talking about here is the Aeronautics Act of Canada, whereby we have the Aeronautics Act, which handles government security and everything else. So that's the act that the government has changed, and they have changed that the security regulations. And what the Conservative Party is saying is that they say there's no problem. They say that the act has been in place for quite some time now, and nobody's had any issues. So why are trans people up in arms? Kristen, are you there? And we don't have Kristen yet, so turn on. Oh, yeah, it is. Okay, so still having difficulties, so I'm just going to keep calling out my guest names until our people get them, and we'll just keep attempting to get our people online. And Kristen, are you there? Okay, so what this issue is that they changed this part of the Transportation Act, and how they changed it was that it says that Section 5.2 under identity screening regulations, an air carrier shall not transport a passenger if A, the passenger presents a piece of photo identification and does not resemble the photograph. Nobody has any problems with that one. B, the passenger does not appear to be the age indicated by the date of birth on the identification. Nobody has a problem with that one.
Anyone there?
Hi, Kristen. Kristen, are you there? Okay, so Kristen is talking, but not there. Okay, so C, the passenger does not appear to be the gender indicated on the identification that he or she presents, which is a huge issue for a good portion of the population. And it doesn't stipulate what gender presentation is, so we have huge issues with androgynous-looking girls and femme-looking boys, and who is it that actually determines what a person is looking like? And then we have the transgendered community who their identification rarely looks like their presentation. And then we have D that says the passenger presents more than one form of identification and there is a major discrepancy between those forms of identification. So if you have two pieces of photo identification and one has one sex designation and one has another, then there's a discrepancy and you can't fly out of a Canadian airport. Which is the case for many, many trans people as they're going through transition and they're working on their identification and changing that identification. It can take anywhere from 2 to 5 years before all of your identification actually matches, if you can actually make that happen at all. So that's where we stand on this as we stand. And what the government is saying is that there is a part of the act that says, despite the clauses that I just said, an air carrier may transport a passenger who presents a piece of photo identification but does not resemble the photograph if the person's appearance changed for a medical reason after the photograph was taken and the passenger presents the air carrier with a document signed by a healthcare professional attesting to that fact. So what they're saying is that if you have a medical note that says that your face has been altered and doesn't look like the picture, then you're in a position whereby you can't, where you can still fly. And they're saying that what in the trans community, that's called a carry letter. And that's a letter from someone in your medical team that says that you can fly, or that you're going through a medical transition and there's some discrepancies between your ID and who it says you are, so that, you know, you can go through life and generally be unharassed as much as possible. But this regulation says that it's the face, and trans people don't change their face much. I mean, some people have female feminization surgery, which can generally change the look of their face. But generally, trans people don't look all that much different after transition. So we're not worried about whether or not a face match happens on identification. What we are worried about is the fact that the identification gender marker or sex marker, depending on your piece of identification, doesn't work in any way and doesn't match. Your different pieces of identification don't match. And it puts trans people in a no man's land whereby they can't in any way get any identification to, you know, they can't fly. And you know, this has created a huge issue. And Olivia Chow, I mean, Randall Garrison, he put it forward in the House last week, and the Conservative Party shot him down immediately, and they actually laughed and snickered in the background in the House, like this is a joke to them. I mean, we have thousands and thousands and thousands of people in this country that are afraid to step on a plane, because if somebody does take some kind of notice of this regulation and actually enforces it, which, you know, thankfully isn't happening right now, which creates a whole nother issue, but if somebody does, there's a $5,000 fine attached to it. So the government's saying, well, no trans person has been refused to fly if they have a medical note, but what happens when you show up at the airport and you find some individual that actually reads the regulation and applies it as it is, and then we have the issue that we can't fly. And they refuse you to fly, and then they hand you a $5,000 fine just because somebody actually went and put the act in place and actually then utilized the act as it is written in the Aeronautics Act, as it was made permanent back in July of 2011. So, you know, we have two, three, four issues that are going on here. And Kristen, are you there? And how about Jennifer? Are you there? So we have several different issues that are going on. I mean, first and foremost, I mean, the Conservative Party of Canada, Harper's government, is saying this isn't a problem because no one's being stopped in airports. So there we have an individual or a problem that we have a piece of legislation that the Conservatives have absolutely without doubt said this legislation has to be in place, and it has to be in place this way to protect the security of Canadians and international travelers that are getting on airplanes. So we have this act that the government of Canada has said this is absolutely important. It is crucial, absolutely crucial that this act is in place. And it's absolutely crucial that this security process actually happens, and it happens in this way, but it's not being enforced in airports. So we have this issue that we have a legislation, and that legislation is not being enforced in any way, shape, or form. And that legislation is being enforced or not being enforced. So what other regulations are not being enforced within the Aeronautics Act and for safety? I mean, and that's just one of the issues that are in play here. We do have a clip here from Randall Garrison, who had also was at committee looking to change this piece of legislation, and here's his thoughts on it now.
Mr. Garrison. Well, thank you very much. This is an issue which is very important to many Canadians, not just those in the transgendered community. When yesterday we were asked if we have any examples of the kinds of things that might have happened as a result of this regulation, I just want to cite three very simple examples. I believe that there are more. We have talked to people who do not wish to go public because of other concerns they have, maybe with family, with work, with community things. But I can give you three. One of those, very directly, two other representatives from Trans Pride who met with me yesterday came from Toronto, and they chose to take the train. And they said that the reason they had done so was they were worried they would be denied boarding and miss the meeting in Ottawa. So this is an example of the kind of chill it casts over people who do not wish to go through embarrassment, humiliation, extra screening at an airport, or possibly be denied boarding. In both of these cases, their ID does not match the appearance which they present, does not match their gender identity. And so they chose not to fly as a result of that. Second example went to the minister from an American transgendered person, Bren Breithaupt, who wrote to the minister saying that they were planning, he and his partner, I believe is correct, were planning to go to Vancouver and tour Western Canada. And with the coverage of this regulation, they've canceled their trip because, again, they're worried about being denied boarding on planes and ruining all the arrangements they had made. So they simply canceled and said they will be going and spending their tourist dollars somewhere else. Probably the most direct example I think most people have seen has been the example of Jennifer McCreath from Newfoundland, who was born in Nova Scotia and was in the process of getting ID changed after gender reassignment surgery and experienced very long delays. Jennifer is a marathon runner, and having waited several months to try and get documents changed, was going to run a marathon in the United States and experienced difficulties both in the Halifax airport, in Toronto Pearson, and finally, because the U.S. has a similar regulation with the U.S. authorities in the Pearson airport, missed her flights, had, I believe, a total of something like 7 hours delay, additional costs because of missed flights, although she was eventually allowed to fly. So coming back, I think, to the main point here is that what is necessary for security is that appearance, the picture, if you like, on the ID needs to match the person. The question of gender is irrelevant to the question of security. As I mentioned previously, other countries, Australia being the primary example, but also the UK, do not have this kind of regulation and do not have any problem with air security. It is not required by international air security regulations. Part of my suspicion here is this was done simply to match a U.S. regulation, which is also being challenged in the United States. It is relatively easy for people to get their pictures changed on ID. It is, in Canada, still virtually impossible for some people to get their gender or sex changed on the ID form. I do have a private member's bill which will be coming forward probably within the next 2 months called Gender Identity and Gender Expression, which will attempt to address some of those other issues. So I would urge the members of the committee, I know conservatives are always against unnecessary regulation, and this is certainly an unnecessary regulation, and so I would urge the members on the other side to support this motion and send this forward to the House of Commons and try to convince the minister. I know he's receiving correspondence now about the problems it's causing, the violation of rights, the rights of freedom of mobility, and also the rights of dignity, I think, of Canadians and to make sure that all of us are treated equally and with dignity, whether we're flying or in any other situation.
And we're back, and we have Jennifer. Are you there?
I am indeed. How are you?
Good. And Kristen?
Yes, I'm here.
Awesome. Great to have you guys. Sorry about the complications there. Somebody hit a button that they weren't supposed to before we were on air and created havoc around here. But the great technical support here at CHRW has got you on the line.
Beautiful.
Okay, so Jennifer, did you want to introduce yourself to the audience? You were just mentioned in the last clip by Randall Garrison, but did you want to tell everybody who you are?
Yes, well, I think Mr. Garrison did a pretty good job describing, I guess, me and my issues. I'm a trans woman who's been full-time now about 4.5 years, post-op about 1 year, live in Newfoundland, and I tend to do a lot of traveling for marathon running.
Wonderful. And Kristen, did you want to introduce yourself?
Of course. My name is Kristen Malloy. I'm a libertarian and trans rights activist and blogger. I'm trans-identified. I was the first candidate to run, trans-identified person to run as a candidate for political office at the provincial level in Canada. And I'm also a member of Trans Lobby Group.
Wonderful. Okay, so Jennifer, you broke this story in the blogosphere. And Kristen, you are probably the most quoted individual on this issue. So I'm going to call you guys professionals and absolute experts on this. And don't argue with me. So Jennifer, can you? I've already given people before you guys were on the line. I gave them a general. I went over the actual regulations themselves, so people know the act and what it sounds like, and I went over how the government has responded to this, and I talked a bit about the security issue and how they're not enforcing an act and how that can put people on risk. So that's where we stand.
Yes.
So can you lay down what you find issues with this screening regulations as it has been finalized?
Absolutely. Well, I guess first of all, you're right. We've got a policy that was sort of sneaked through the cracks without checks and balances because it's a regulation as opposed to an act. So nobody actually knew this was there until a friend of mine actually had to do some research and found out about it. Secondly, of course, the fact that we've got a policy that's discriminatory is concerning, and the fact that we've got a policy that's not being enforced, I guess that leads into kind of the tangible issues here. They're using the word gender as opposed to sex. We know there's legal definitions for sex, but to my understanding, there's not a legal definition for gender. So we are opening the door for a variety of potential interpretations based on individuals working at airports. And one, gender and sex are not the same thing. I think we realize that. Sex is between your legs, gender is between your ears. And again, if you're going to have anyone classifying gender based on sex, essentially what you're doing is erasing the existence of trans people and making it impossible for them to, I guess, self-identify. And likewise, the issue of government documentation versus gender and sex could be a dichotomy as well. Take my example. I had recently completed surgery but had not gotten any new paperwork yet. So hence we have a discrepancy between biological sex and legal sex, and you got a strange case of me trying to prove who I used to be.
Which was really difficult for you since you had a vagina.
So much emphasis on the passport. I had other documents. I had about 55 pieces of paper, but they didn't seem to care about that. All they cared about was the passport.
And that stuck you into limbo land. And tell us, I mean, you were delayed for 7 hours at the airport while they figured this out.
Yeah, it wasn't actually quite that long, but it was long enough for me to miss a flight, which they knew I had. The bigger issue was, I guess, just the lack of respect. I was treated as if I was some foreign alien and told to sit over in the corner and just sit there. I was not given any information. I saw at least 45 other people come into secondary screening and get processed. Finally, someone came and asked me, how long you been sitting there? And I'm like, yeah, I got a flight coming up. So literally about 5 minutes after my flight left, they call me up to the counter. And then they start asking me a ton of questions, still not asking to see other ID, or I eventually had to volunteer paperwork to kind of prove for them, look, this is what's really happening here, and this is why there's a sex discrepancy. I think privacy is another issue here, and when you look at the concept of identity proofing, how much information do you really need to prove that a person is who they say they are? And at what point are you asking questions that go above and beyond what's really necessary? If you're going to ask people particulars about their genitals and make assumptions that they've had surgeries and ask them about that, I'm not sure I understand how that affects my ability to prove who I am. My face still looks the same as it did on my old picture. Maybe I have a different hairstyle. I think my voice sounds fairly masculine, so to believe that I may have used to have been a male is not a far stretch. It just seems like they were, who knows, singling me out for no real valid reason. And in the end, they let me go and never gave me a full explanation other than to say the fact that you're trans might complicate future flying. And I think that's the problem that's out there with all trans people. I know that they're saying, well, we don't have anyone on record who's actually missed a flight, but it's that potential. And I think as human beings that are in Canada, we want to comply with the rules, but we can't do that if we don't actually know what the rules are. And at this point, it's completely unclear as to what it is that they're looking for when they ask for the word gender.
Okay, so, Kristen, this brings up a whole another point, because you flew just recently to New York out of Pearson Airport, correct?
That is right, yeah.
And did anybody make any notice of the Aeronautics Act version 5.2 with you?
No, as a matter of fact, as I tweeted on February 2nd, the gate attendant waved, the announcement comes over, please have your passports ready and open to the photo page, which I did. I had it upside down, face down, because, you know, I didn't want to flash it to everyone who happened to be nearby. But as I approached the gate attendant and I held out my boarding pass and my passport, she just grabbed my boarding pass and then waved off my passport and said, no, just go through. So, you know, I have to agree with you guys. I heard you earlier mentioning that it's not only the offending section, but in fact, none of those ID screening regulations are actively being followed at the gate, which is a problem in itself.
Exactly. So we have two individuals on the line. Both of you folks have different stories and different experiences under the exact same regulation. And I think this is the point we're trying to make as a community, is that this is not how airport travel is supposed to be.
Well, it's very unfair, and I think that it might have something to do. I don't necessarily look like somebody who would draw a lot of attention or be stopped. So maybe I'm getting through because I look a certain way and other people are being stopped because they look a certain way. And regardless of how somebody looks, they shouldn't face additional scrutiny at the airport just based on their appearance.
Well, this brings into all kinds of other issues with racialized communities that are facing more targeted scrutiny at airports than those that might be, you know, white female in a certain age bracket. We have these other groups that typically face unfair and unjust scrutiny anyways at the airport. I mean, on this show we had Josh Blue who won Last Comic Standing, and he's an Olympic athlete on the Canadian Paralympic team. And I mean, his term back then when it comes to TSA dealing with people with disabilities was, they need to die. And that's a direct quote. So, I mean, these other marginalized groups that are facing increased scrutiny at TSA, I mean, I can't even imagine what this regulation is going to make their life like.
It's tough enough as it is that we're already facing a variety of scrutiny. We're facing myths. Just look south of the border, and all the stuff coming out of the state of Tennessee, for example, bathroom bills, predators. That's another interesting point worthy of mention here is some jurisdictions will never recognize a sex change in government documents. And so, for example, if I would have been born in the state of Tennessee, I would be legally recognized as a male for the rest of my life, regardless of what I look like, what my biology looks like, which essentially means that for the rest of my life, I would run into this issue at the airport. And this is also going to affect international tours. I've already heard stories of trans-identified people canceling trips to come to Canada. Pride season's right around the corner. Some of the biggest cities in Canada have several hundreds of trans people expected to attend. How many of these people are not going to come now? How much money is this going to cost the economy? How much embarrassment is this going to cost our country on a global scene?
Wow, and that's a great segue to our second half. And we're going to talk about all of those issues here at Between the Margins on CHRW 94.9 after this short commercial break. And welcome back to Between the Margins on CHRW 94.9 FM. I'm Michelle Boyce, and on the phone, it's my pleasure to have Kristen Malloy from Toronto and Jennifer McCreath from St. John's, Newfoundland, talking about their experiences and their expertise with this atrocious Government of Canada event called, we're calling the Trans No Fly List. So, or no-fly ban, I guess, would be more appropriate. So
I try to use the hashtag transflightban whenever I talk about it.
There you go. So on Twitter, follow Kristen on hashtag no-flight. What?
If the hashtag is transflightban, all one word.
Perfect.
But my my Twitter is available off my website.
Perfect. So we've got some stuff to talk about. Let's talk about ID, because I mean, this is a huge issue, and Kristen, you actually have a Canadian human rights case against the social insurance registration people on this very thing that they won't change your gender marker. So let's talk about how hard is it, folks, to change your ID?
Well, it's a great question. Jennifer mentioned before there's a complete confusion and misunderstanding in the government about legal sex versus gender. And in point of fact, it's not that there's a lacking of two different definitions. It's not that legal sex is only referred to and gender is ignored. It's the opposite. It's that they're used interchangeably in a number of various different acts of the parliament. We'll refer to gender and sex as though they are the same thing. So that's hugely problematic. The human rights case that I've filed against social insurance registration is on the basis that they are refusing to update my gender marker because I am provided them only with a birth certificate which lists my legal sex as male. And what I've done is I've taken the position that arbitrarily assigning a gender marker based exclusively on a pre-existing sex designation constitutes by definition discrimination based on sex. So, and the commission has actually, I just found out 2 days ago, the commission has accepted my complaint.
Wonderful.
It's a great opportunity to actually have a case and demonstrate that no, gender designation is not, cannot be arbitrarily taken based on sex.
Well, there's also every single province has different regulations on how you can update that birth certificate document, which, you know, is the fundamental document that you need to change the gender marker on your identification. And then I work with people from various countries around the world who are immigrants into Canada and born in other countries who have extreme difficulty navigating their home country's regulations on how to change those birth certificates around the world. So
I know of a person who's actually facing a huge amount of expense and difficulty because he has to have all of his documents translated back and forth between Chinese and English every time he wants to communicate back with his, the people who are holding control over those documents in his home country.
And this is an undue burden on trans people in Canada that that want to fly and have all of these different regulations. I mean, in Ontario, it is very simple to change the gender or sex marker on your driver's license. And the reason I'm flipping back and forth between gender and sex here is not because gender and sex are actually interchangeable, but on identification in various places in Canada on different identification use the word gender or sex differently. So I'm using them to just encompass that male or female marker that's on your identification. But in
the legal designation.
Yeah, the legal designation on any particular piece of identification. And unlike other jurisdictions where you have three different genders, male, female, and usually X, but there's
unspecified.
I mean, China has a different way of doing it. Australia has a different way to do it. A lot of jurisdictions in the world have that third category, which encompasses a great deal of people because intersexed is 1 in 1,000 individuals. And then trans people, you know, is debatable, somewhere around 1 in 1,000 more. And then you've got women with androgen insensitivity syndrome, and you've got people with mosaic chromosomes. You've got, I mean, we're talking, this isn't an issue that just, you know, is talking about a few dozen people. We're talking about thousands and thousands and thousands of people that fall into this no man's land.
Oh, so, for sure. And this could affect even, I guess, cis people, if you will, who are presenting in a manner that's not, I guess, congruent with the way they're supposedly expected to in an airport. And this points, I think, to the importance of having global standards and ensuring that Canada is adhering to those standards. And that would include, in my opinion, recognition of gender as a explicit human rights issue that's separate from sex. And I think Kristen's case is a perfect example, because for years they've been trying to say that gender identity and gender expression will be covered under the grounds of sex. And here we have a case where you're assigning one based on the other in a discriminatory manner.
Exactly.
That's what I'm hoping the Human Rights Commission will find in my favor. I'm cautiously optimistic that they will. But I mean, on the topic of gender unspecified passports, you know, Jennifer's mentioned international standards. There are international standards. ICAO has an international standard on how passports can be read, and they include the unspecified gender, which, you know, as you mentioned, it's already in use in Australia, and I think New Zealand is adopting them as well. That's why I started another campaign. I'm encouraging people now on my blog to actually register for a passport in Canada, and I've provided a form letter to attach where you can request your passport be gender unspecified. Now, of course, Canada doesn't offer that as an option, but my what I'm saying is that, well, your transport minister and your Transport Canada Ministry and even members of the Transport Committee have mentioned in the meetings that I heard you were playing recordings from earlier, that Canada's in compliance, allegedly, with these standards. In fact, I've even heard these standards used as a justification for the new regulation, saying that it brings us in line with those standards, which is not true. But if they're compliant with those standards and they're so insistent that they are, then my thought process is they should very well fulfill these requests for sex-unspecified passports, which are laid out very clearly in the ICAO standards. Now, of course, I'm expecting that they won't and that everyone will get refused, and then I'm hoping that we can use it as the basis for yet another human rights complaint. I think that this is what we have to do. I mean, we can sit around and wait for those people in government to maybe start to legislate these changes that we all know need to happen, or we can get organized and we can start doing political action and try to just every crack, every angle that we can get at, we should be pushing for these rights that we need to have. I mean, we're not in a state of equality with the rest of Canadian citizens. It's very sad.
It is. And when we talk about Parliament, we should mention, because it wasn't mentioned, that Olivia Chow did put forward that motion, and the Liberal and NDP members all voted for the amendment of the Act, and the Conservative government held strong. They had a majority on that, and they made that bill fail. So
yes, they definitely voted along party lines. Mercedes Allen posted on her blog a breakdown of the conservatives who voted no. One of them was Blake Richards, who was noted for lobbying his constituents through his riding newspaper to oppose C-389.
And another one is Ed Holder, who is a conservative MP here in London, where this radio station is, and he is, has been, and continuously remains transphobic and anti-trans. So I mean, Ed Holder has always been on the party line and always been against the trans community.
I think a lot of these issues are based on, again, phobias, myths, and it's important for us as trans people to just get out there and live our everyday lives and demonstrate to these people that their phobias are ridiculous. You don't have to be afraid of us. We're not going to cause trouble on airplanes. We're not going to cause trouble in bathrooms. And at the same time, just keep calling them out. Whenever there's an issue of discrimination, put it forward. Hello?
Hello. We seem to have lost Kristen.
Uh-oh.
Which is going to cause great amounts of trouble here, but go ahead, Jennifer.
You can hear me over the buzzing?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, a similar issue I'm facing here is, in other provinces, is the concept of transgender health and the importance of filing human rights cases whenever there's evidence of discrimination based on gender identity. And it's going to take a lot of moral suasion, and it's going to take human rights cases and lawsuits for government to finally essentially be forced to make these changes. It's, quite frankly, I'm not sure I understand the value in discriminating against the trans community. The pendulum has swung. It's, we've come a long way, especially in the past decade. We're getting sympathetic media coverage. We're no longer being portrayed as these deviant people. We're seeing a lot of stories about trans people having success stories. Kristen being on the TV there last week, a perfect example. And we're seeing polls suggesting 90% of people agree that trans people need that explicit protection. And eventually, it's gonna come down to the vote and in the next election. And if you're pushing bigotry and discrimination, you're going to lose that support, conservatives, and you're going to start losing those votes. And it's challenging to have to deal with this time after time. Going back to the airport, the reason I first discovered this was because I had a trans friend who was in the process, ironically enough, of booking plane tickets to have sex reassignment surgery and wondering if she would even be able to get to the surgery clinic.
Well, that creates a number. I mean, especially when you go for sex reassignment surgery in another country. I mean, you leave biologically one sex and you come back biologically another.
Yes.
I mean, there is nothing in the government of Canada to deal with that stuff.
No. The other issue is timely documentation. Whatever your rules are, I was advised it would take 2 weeks to get a new birth certificate from my birth province of Nova Scotia. Once I provided sufficient paperwork, which I did, and 8 weeks later I had nothing. And I was, and the other issue was I was advised that I needed the new documents to get a new passport, when in fact there's apparently a temporary type of passport that I could have gotten. So it seems everyone I asked, the bureaucrats and the administrative staff don't know the rules, and that's part of the problem. And second of all, the rules are so challenging and confusing that nobody knows what they are.
Yes, and then we have a conservative government that laughs at the trans community.
Yeah, and to me that's the biggest shame on this whole situation was the fact that they're laughing at a very serious issue. Here's Canada. Harper, I believe, was overseas less than a week ago talking about human rights and trying to encourage other countries to be a little bit better on the human rights. Meanwhile, he needs to look in the mirror, look what he's doing. And my story that got exposed in major part to Kristen's blog, which I guess the whole world is now following, articles from the UK were outraged. People even in the States, gee, Jennifer, I thought Canada was a little bit more accepting up there. And it's kind of sad to have to say, actually, you know what? No, we're not.
Yeah, and I mean, Air Trans ironically by name, has a whole team of stewardesses that that are trans. And,
yes, I read about that.
Yeah, and I mean they can't fly into Canada.
No.
I mean so I mean it's there's so much in play here, and unfortunately we only have an hour to deal with the issue. And I think we finally got Kristen back on the line. Kristen, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, yes. Wonderful. So I mean, we have so many more. So quickly, just 1 minute each. Kristen, can you close this up for us?
Well, I think that, you know, Jennifer's right. We have a long way to go. We've got a government that's unfortunately mostly against us. And I think that this is our year for trans action. We need to get together and do. You know, we do a lot of, we talk about the issues. We try to educate people about the issues. I think we get drawn into discussions with people about what the problems are. But I'd like to see more actual actions taken to try and address the issues directly. Like, I know the Trans Lobby Group has gone to Queen's Park in Toronto to work with lawmakers at the provincial level to try and address these issues. I know Toby's Law is being reintroduced by Sherry DeNovo on February 21st, and that's a huge benefit. What that would do is of course, very similar to C-279 at the federal level. It would bring us protections at the provincial level. And there's always human rights complaints. I mean, the Human Rights Commission of Canada, you know, we may not have gender identity enshrined into law as a protected ground yet, but they do accept those complaints on the ground of sex, and I think that we need to capitalize on that and single out those organizations that are doing these types of discriminatory activities, like, for example, social insurance registration. Call them out on it. Fill out a complaint and get your marker changed, because it's your right as a Canadian to be identified with dignity in the gender identity that you express.
And if you have, I mean, if you are considering one of those human rights complaints, then get in touch with Kristen, get in touch with myself, get in touch with Jennifer. All of that will be on the blog for this show. My information, you know, michelle@acclondon.com or michelle@betweenthemargins.ca. I mean, you can get in touch with me and I'll help you get in touch with the legal team. Barbara Finley is actually in the process of filing a human rights complaint on this very issue. So if you have a story and want to be included in that case, then get in touch with us and we will get you in touch with the people that you need to be. And Jennifer?
Yeah, I think in closing, another thing we can do is be deeper engaged in the human rights process and the policy process. It's a shame that you can't really file a human rights complaint until an incident occurs. We need to be pushing for a human rights commission that takes a proactive approach, stops discrimination before it happens, screens policies like this one before they get enacted into law, and we need to organize ourselves as trans communities to make sure that we have recognition that we're an entity, we're a go-to expert. Have someone like myself, Michelle or Kristen, look at that policy before you actually put it out there, to have an extra set of eyes to say, to make sure, is this acceptable or not? Are we missing anything?
Exactly. So, I mean, hats off to the NDP and the Liberals who are still pounding this issue and launching those bills to speed up the processes. I mean, what trans people need, we need identification that can be changed in a timely manner, and we need bureaucrats that don't put all these roadblocks in the way for you know, just generally living life. I mean, nothing special.
And without surgery, Michelle.
Yeah, and that was a whole issue that we didn't get into on this show, is the fact that not everyone wants surgery. And I mean, look at Kristen's blog. There's a lot of information up there, and there's a lot of media out there on this, and we'll blog more at Between the Margins. But unfortunately, I'm going to have to bid adieu and say thank you very much to Jennifer McCreath and Kristen Malloy for coming on the show today and talking about this very important issue for trans populations and everyone else across the country who may not have identification that matches their gender for whatever reason. Thank you very much, you two.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you, Michelle.
Great. And for those of you out there, www.betweenthemargins.ca. You can see our blogs, hear other podcasts, and the podcast for this show, and have yourself happily ever after, whatever that looks like to you, and we'll see you again in 2 weeks.